Chris.
You're listening to
Pink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Thanks for tuning in. This week's going to be a lot of things. So I recently was thinking about book awards and how I've never actually really followed any book awards, but a lot of readers, you know, that's a big part of their reading experience is who wins the awards and what are the awards. And so I thought we would dive into the wide world of book awards.
There are a lot out there.
Yeah, I threw some at Chris and I threw some at myself, and there admittedly is a great many that we did not get to, and admittedly this is very biased towards English awards, so if you have like more diverse awards that you think we should make sure are on our radar, we're open to feedback. How about that? We're really excited about what we're going to talk about, and we're open to feedback.
Yeah. I would say that, I mean, while we're obviously coming from a certain point of view, I would say, as far as I know, there aren't really major non-English language literary awards.
There's lots of them. I Googled it and was like, okay. Yeah, we're not even going there.
There you go.
Yeah, they're out there. And if you have favorites, we would love to hear from you.
Yep.
Inkandworm@gmail.com, all lowercase. That's the best way to reach me. You can do all the other socials, but I tend to get a little bit lost on there.
Don't use the MySpace.
The MySpace is not a reliable way to contact me. So that being said, I think I'll start talking about book awards with a nice, fun, light, easy book award. Not very controversial, this one. It's called the Caldecott Medal. Caldecott is how you say that. And it's honoring actually children's illustrators. So this award was created out of concern that more attention was being given to children's book authors than was being given to children's book illustrators, so they decided to acknowledge the illustrators. The most recent winner was Javaka Stepto, and I probably butchered that, and it's the title of the book is Radiant Child, the story of young artist Jean-Michel Basquiat. Obviously, I don't speak French either, so...
That's okay.
But I looked through the history, and some of, you know, my childhood iconic books their illustrators were winners. Some titles you may recognize: Make Way for Ducklings, The Snow
Classic.
Day. Yeah, The Snowy Day, Where the Wild Things Are.
Of course.
Polar Express, and then one that I loved is The Girl Who Loved Wild Horses. So there's your first book award, the Caldecott for illustrators of children's books.
Nice. I don't think I'd heard of that one.
Now you have.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Start reading them all.
Yeah, it won't take you very long.
Just put aside one afternoon and should be.
Maybe two afternoons.
Two afternoons, maybe. A weekend.
All right, you're up next.
Okay, so one of my favorites, the Hugo Awards, which is awarded for best science fiction or fantasy. They're organized, but...
Do you read much of that?
So much.
Would you say like 50% of what you read is science fiction or fantasy?
Yeah, I was for each of these awards I was looking up, I was going through the like their full lists and seeing, you know, what I read of the nominees and the winners. And
yeah, I heard some comments. Oh, I hated that book.
Yeah. Yeah, we can get to that. But yeah, when it came to the Hugo Awards, I was like,
yep.
Type.
Yep. So lay it on us.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
A lot.
Ready to go.
So yeah, so that's organized by the World Science Fiction Society. They started handing them out in 1953. Kind of nice thing about them is they're not purely literature. So they do tackle like film. And other things of that. And even their literature categories are pretty varied. I mean, they have novel, obviously, novella. They have novelette, short story, graphic story, which is nice because that's...
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Underappreciated. And then even a category called related work.
What does that include?
So that's nonfiction. I guess it comes up rarely enough since...
Nonfiction, science fiction.
Yeah. Let's see if I can pull something up because, yeah, it was very, very random. Yeah, so works which are either nonfiction or noteworthy for reasons other than the fictional text. So let's see. The most recent one. Oh, the most recent one, there was no award. the most recent one that won was 2014.
Interstellar.
We have always fought challenging the women, cattle, and slaves narrative, addressing the portrayal of women in science fiction.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I thought
it's
that was
not science fiction. It's related.
Yeah. I thought that was cool that they do take the time and energy to address, relevant nonfiction texts like that, that, you know, are part of the overall culture.
Yeah, that reminds me of a book I just read, The Feminist Geek Guide or something. Obviously really good at remembering titles.
It's okay. I also had no idea that the term novelette even existed.
What's a novelette? Did you look it up?
Yeah, so basically, so we know it. So a novel is 40,000 words or more. A novella is between 17,500 and 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then novelette is 7,500 and then less than 17,500. And then if you're less than 7,500, you're a short story.
Mm-hmm. This is just word count.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, I mean, like 40,000 seems like a good breaking point. I don't really get why 17,500 is like, oh, yeah, this is definitely a novella, not a novelette.
Somebody decided.
Yeah, someone somewhere was like, "This, we really need to figure this out." But yeah, Hugo Award's really great. If you love sci-fi fantasy, I mean, looking at the winners and the even the nominees is, it's essentially like a history of the canon of sci-fi.
Dune
and fantasy.
One.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, past winners. I mean, these are all well-known titles like Starship Troopers, Stranger in a Strange Land, Dune, Slaughterhouse-Five, Forever War, Ender's Game, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of... actually, Harry Potter and Goblet of Fire was a winner.
That was a good one.
American Gods.
Also a good one.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, you look at the authors. I mean, you have Robert Everyone. Heinlein, Philip K. Dick... Frank Herbert, Ursula K. Le Guin, Vonnegut, Asimov, Clark, Haldeman. I mean, it's really like a who's who of sci-fi and fantasy.
I found as I was researching some of my awards that there's a lot of controversy around them. Is there any controversy related to this award that you browsed?
It seemed fairly straightforward, actually.
I bet there's probably, I mean...
I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure if we delved in.
Having just read, I am probably... I feel like it's safe to say more men have won than women, and
yeah.
Probably not a lot of like minority writers.
Yeah, I mean the you know, at least looking, you know, I was making this list of what I had read, and yeah, it's mainly
white mean, not to males. Discredit the work that goes into that and the wonderful things we have, but yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you do definitely have, like, I mean, Ursula K. Le Guin's on there a lot. And there's other female authors like Vonda McIntyre, Anne McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there. And then, like, I mean, the last winner that I had read off of this list was The Wind-Up Girl by Paolo Bacigalupi. I mean, it's a male author, but I would say it is a pretty feminist text, having read it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're making moves slowly but surely.
Yeah, we all got to come together. Change is slow, but it's happening.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
The one thing I'll note, and I just want to say this because it's, to me, it's like classic sci-fi fantasy geekery, is that they even have retro Hugos.
Yeah, of course. We got to catch them all.
Yeah. I have to read off the Wikipedia bit on this because it's kind of funny. These awards are given by Worldcons, like the World Convention of Science Fiction,
right.
Given by Worldcons, held 50, 75, or 100 years after a Worldcon where no Hugos had been awarded. So it's like...
Yeah, of course. We'll get to it all eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was like, that summed up that kind of fandom in a nutshell.
Yeah, basically this show is us Googling for 2 hours, so you don't have to. Aren't you grateful?
Better be.
My next award is the National Book Critics Circle Award, and it's kind of pretentious. Created to honor the finest books published in English by book critics. Founded in 1974 with 700 active book reviewers currently. They do have a bunch of different categories, which is fun. The one book that kind of stuck out to me was the winner in 2002, Atonement, Ian McEwan.
Mm.
It was a good one. And then I am currently eating carrot cake from The Tiny Letter, put out by Snacks in the Stacks. And that was something this is partially why book awards came onto my radar, because she read The Sellout by Paul Beatty, which won 2015. So I haven't read it, but she read it, liked it, put out a little review and a recipe for it. So can check that out. That's all I have to say. They have five categories: fiction, general nonfiction, biography, autobiography, poetry, and criticism.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, I was browsing the fiction list, and I definitely recognize, at least from the earlier titles from like 70s and 80s, I definitely recognize a lot of these and I've read them. I mean, well-known authors like Updike or Kennedy.
Oh yeah, classics.
Roth.
Classic, yeah. Canons. Yeah, the finest in English literature.
Yes.
I just thought that was a little snooty. Obviously, the critics are going to be like, well, of course it's the finest.
Yeah, duh.
We're the critics, don't you know?
What do you expect?
So that's what they think's going on.
Cool. Next one I had was the John Newbery Medal.
Zing! So many high school students have read books that have won this medal.
Yeah. So this is Best American Children's Literature, given by the Association for Library Service to Children, which is a division of the American Library Association, and they've been handing this out since 1922. Similar along the same lines as Hugo with sci-fi and fantasy, looking over the Newbery Medal recipients and shortlist nominees is definitely like the history of American children's literature. I mean, a few ones off of there that I had read at one point or another. I mean, Charlotte's Web,
mm-hmm.
obviously a classic, E.B. White, From the Mix-Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. Did you ever read that?
I never read that. No. That was a good title.
Yeah, my sisters and I read that. It was a good one. Bridge of Terabithia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so good. Catherine Patterson. The Giver by Lois Lowry.
That's one that I got in ninth grade.
Yeah.
Maybe 10th grade.
And Holes by Lewis Socker.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny looking over the list, and I was like, I recognize so much of this, but then nothing past 1999.
Yeah, all the new stuff, you're like, what is that?
Yeah. But it was...
Now I'm curious to see the list. I'll have to look it up later.
Yeah, it is, thinking about, because they have the Newbery Medal is like the silver medal on the book cover. I remember that so strongly just because so many of the books...
Every book you were assigned was like a Newbery Medal winner.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the Newbery Medal is hugely influential as far as like the kind of literature that American kids get exposed to in school.
Yeah. It pretty much dictates.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I would almost say that... at least for American literary scene, it might be the most influential just because like...
Yeah, I would say that's probably could be an accurate assessment.
Yeah, because this is, obviously the books you read as a kid are kind of where you, A, learn to like to read, hopefully.
Hopefully. And B... Some of those books... Wait, so I'm curious, when is the book coming of like, you hated that book? Is that this award or a different one?
It's a different one.
Oh, what one is it?
After... Oh, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, we'll get to it. Don't worry. I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, it's coming. It's coming. Yeah, I'm curious. I want to look now and see what books I recognize.
It's definitely... It's a nice trip down memory lane, for sure.
But then, yeah, you're right. It's like stops and you haven't... I did read The Tale of Despereaux about a mouse.
Oh, yeah, I remember it. Yeah, I've like heard of something.
Partially because my younger sister read it and loved it. So that was like handed to me. But yeah, in the last like whole while, that's about all I got for you.
It's almost as if I started reading non-children's literature.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely read YA, but apparently not the Newbery winners anymore. I think I got rid of it. But I had the Graveyard book, which of course meant that I never read it because I'm terrible at reading books that I actually own. So anyways, enough about me. Let's talk about book awards. Ta-da! My next book award researched was the Nobel Prize for Literature, which started with a Swedish engineer, Alfred Nobel, dying and in his will stipulating the organization of the Nobel Foundation in 1895. It's oft considered the most prestigious award in literature. And it's awarded for most outstanding work in an ideal direction. Some question about translation from Swedish to English, yeah. Ideal versus idealistic. And it's also pretty political and a lot of controversy around it. Big surprise, favors certain audiences and certain populations just because that's Sweden and they, operating on what you know and what you're exposed to. So many amazing previous winners. Toni Morrison stood out to me most of all just because she's been in the media a lot recently. I think with a lot of stuff happening in the world, she just keeps coming up, but... Seamus Heaney, I can't.
Oh, Seamus Heaney.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
and
he's great.
I'm gonna kill this too, but Polish poet Wisława Szymborska. I have definitely fallen in love with her poetry. Other winners: Orhan Pamuk, Doris Lessing. So basically, like transcendent people, I suppose.
Yeah, though I was pretty annoyed that Bob Dylan won.
Yeah, I thought we were gonna talk about that. why are you annoyed that Bob Dylan won?
Well, just because
he didn't write things.
Because it's supposed to be literature, and like he was given an award based off of like his musical lyrics, which
for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition.
Yeah, which like I don't disagree with that statement that like
poetry, that's songwriting.
Yeah, I just feel like music is a separate art form and like there's already awards for that, and this to me almost like feels like a cop-out.
Songwriting is not poetry.
I mean, I think it's a separate...
Who were the other nominees this past year? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Maybe yeah. you're. Maybe they just didn't have any good nominees.
Yeah, that's the thing. To me, it just feels like a cop out, and it's like we have musical awards. He's been like he's a musician. This is the like we're talking about his musical work here. He has been sufficiently honored for that. Like, meanwhile, like there's any number of authors out there that like you could give this award to and make a huge difference in their life and or their career. Like Bob Dylan's got enough awards at this point.
Yeah, but I also, well, I don't know that I agree with you, but I don't know that I have a solid argument for it. And the one thing that does come to mind is Leonard Cohen, may he rest in peace, talked about how he was a poet, but he started writing songs so that people would listen to him. And I'm not saying that that's what Bob Dylan did, but he started on a ukulele. And I think that as a vehicle of expression, music has much more potential than poetry. If you want to be a poet, you got to start singing it if you want people to actually listen to you. So I think as his merit as a poet and songwriter translates into changing a lot of people's lives. So I don't know that it's.
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like, again, he's been like his significant contributions to music have been covered multiple times. And I don't know, this is a literature prize, not a music prize.
Well, I mean, he couldn't win a Nobel Prize for something else, so.
Yeah, but.
They had to fit him into literature and poetry.
Yeah. Well, we could argue about this for hours.
Obviously, you're not a fan. So, we shall continue, and you're going to tell us about your next award.
All right. This is probably my personal favorite. Hugo, obviously, I've read everything, but this is the Man Booker Prize. This is for the best English language novel. It was started in 1969, and back then it had to be purely a book that was British, and then it got expanded to British Commonwealth. And then a couple years ago, in 2013, they made it purely English language novel, which was pretty controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, personally, I think it's fine. But either way, like, if you're ever looking for a great list of just like general fiction, I would highly recommend like Booker recipients and even like the short lists. I mean, a couple of winners that I've read and really loved was Midnight's Children by Salman Rushdie, Schindler's Ark by Thomas Keneally, The Rains of the Day by Kazuo Ishiguro, and Life of Pi by Yann Martel. Mm. Yeah, those are all great. The last Booker related book I read, I didn't like.
It was a nominee.
Yeah, it's a reason it wasn't a winner.
It hasn't won yet.
Yeah,
don't waste your time on it.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you halfway through said it depends on the ending, so apparently you didn't agree with how it wrapped up.
Yeah, I mean, so this was His Bloody Project by Graham McRae Burnett, and sort of posited as like a series of nonfiction documents, like a series of historical documents, and I just didn't like that format. And the concept basically, without really spoiling anything, the concept basically was like, the more you go through these different documents, like
here's the facts, and then you get the story from it.
Yeah, and then you realize, and there's some twists and turns because different documents reveal different things, right? Mm-hmm. But honestly, the reveals insubstantial and not rewarding of the reader's time.
They didn't make you gasp.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I shrugged. But yeah, with that exception, Booker Prize nominees and winners tend to be some of the best fiction out there, in my opinion.
All right. If you have just tuned in, you are listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. We talk about books, writing, the creative process, and everything and anything. Feel free to reach out to us. We're on all the socials, Ink and Worm. And also check out Radio Free Brooklyn. They've got awesome events. It's nice to sponsor local, you know, free speech radio. And there's lots of crazy cool shows. and lots of graphic shows.
So graphic.
Well, yeah, you gotta have fun somewhere. Why not with your internet radio consumption? Okay, so my next prize to research is the Pulitzer Prize, and it is pronounced Pulitzer. I listened to an entire podcast on this, not Pulitzer.
So who thought it was
for
Pulitzer?
The record. Oh, if you listen to people talk, a lot of people say Pulitzer.
Ugh.
The supposedly accurate pronunciation is Pulitzer. After Joseph Pulitzer, a newspaper journalist who made it, I don't know, I guess revolutionized news reporting. Unfortunately, I'm not much of a journalist, so I feel like I should probably give this more explanation and credence, but I think it's beyond my comprehension. It is administered by Columbia University, which I thought was interesting, and there's a cash prize related to the winning.
Ka-ching.
Yeah, so if you need some money, you should try and win a Pulitzer.
That's the best way of...
obviously, the New York Times has won. I think different authors for the New York Times have won. But navigating this one was a little bit beyond me. So if you have some like tips of like entry points, I'm happy to learn more. I just don't know much right now. And they also have a bunch of different breakdowns within it, just because journalism and reporting is kind of really broad category.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different categories and all sorts of subjects you could fall into that.
So I didn't have an example of someone or something that I knew of who's won.
One of my top books last year was a Pulitzer Prize winner.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't search the internet well.
I don't know if you remember me talking about Tinkers by Paul Harding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the 2010 winner. That was a beautiful book. Other ones I've read, 2007, The Road by Cormac McCarthy.
Oh, okay, I just found the link for all the books that have won. But I'll let you keep talking because it sounds like you have some good thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, I mean, something there's Middlesex by Jeffrey Eugenides.
Oh, yeah, that's the classic.
Interpretive Maladies by Junpo Lahiri.
These are fiction too?
Yeah, so there's a fiction category. Okay. That's what, yeah, because that's mainly what...
Because I kind of stopped after I was like looking in news reporting. I was like, well, I don't really know. And there's investigative reporting, cartooning, photography, all kinds of stuff related to reporting. But I didn't realize it also branched into fiction.
Yeah. And there's definitely, if you look over the list, these days it's very...
Tennessee Williams, John Updike.
Yeah, it feels very canonical at this point. Yeah. Though I admit there's some stinkers on there too, like Gone with the Wind.
Classic.
But a terrible classic.
According to you.
Yeah. Not worthy of the Pulitzer Prize, in my opinion.
Robert Frost. Anyways, this is also oft considered the most prestigious award in writing. So.
Yes.
Very official.
Yeah, there was, and like any major prize has its share of controversies. Like, the year that they were gonna give the prize to Gravity's Rainbow,
uh-huh,
by Thomas Pynchon. I never know.
Yes.
Pynchon. They basically they were so pissed that that was gonna be the winner that they just decided that there was no winner that year.
Right.
Which to me is like the definition of being a sore loser, that you're like,
they're like,
no, we're just not gonna hand it out this year. No one was worthy.
Oops, we didn't have a good year.
Yeah, oh, too bad. No literature this year.
Did you read Gravity's Rainbow?
No, I've only read The Crying of Lot 49.
I started Gravity's Rainbow and then got distracted with other books. So obviously it didn't strike me as award winning.
Yeah. Crying of Lot 49 was Interesting.
I feel like he's lauded in a lot of circles, but he's hard to read. You have to like really be into it and like be thinking actively and like taking notes or something, which some people love reading like that. I read as escapism, so it didn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the film adaptation of one of his books a couple of years ago, Inherent Vice. Which was a, like interesting film. It made me curious about him. But then once I read Crying Lot 49, I was like, nope. I'm no longer curious.
A lot of good books in the world. This one's not for me.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people love him. So
yeah.
If anyone can let us know what the attraction is, yeah. Role
Why
ears.
Do you like him? Even the Pulitzer didn't like him.
Yeah, they canceled the Pulitzer that year because of him.
That's funny. All right.
Okay. Next one I had was the National Book Awards. So Best American Literature. It's run by the nonprofit National Book Foundation. Established by the American Booksellers Foundation in 1936. And since 1989, it's been hosted by the nonprofit National Book Foundation. I think I just repeated myself. Oops.
Right.
It happens.
We got it.
Yeah. Just wanted to make, really emphasize that yeah. bit. And it has four modern categories: fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and children's literature. A lot of great books on there. I mean, some of the ones I've read is The Moviegoer by Walker Percy, The World According to Garp by John Irving, All the Pretty Horses by Cormac McCarthy, Salvage the Bones by Jessamyn Ward, and a book I hated. Finally, this is drumroll, please.
Been waiting so long.
Just Kids by Patti Smith.
You hated it.
I hate it.
Why?
I just found her writing extremely irritating, and the subject material I was
indifferent. You also didn't like Bob Dylan. So, like, maybe that whole like movement is just not for you.
I don't know.
I just can't have an opinion on it.
I worked on a documentary about that period.
And you hated it?
No, I mean, I liked it. I interviewed guys on camera from that period all about like the village scene and whatnot. So I have a fair amount of background in that era as far as knowledge base. But yeah, I don't know. Patti Smith just didn't do it for me.
I heard her first book was better.
Okay.
I think what were the books? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe it was, I mean, I read it while I was traveling in Honduras, and I don't know if maybe like that juxtaposition just like
you
didn't
like,
work.
No, we're not beatniks here.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, if you're looking for great books to read, National Book Award winners are certainly plenty of great ones.
Just Kids. I'm Googling.
Researching.
I'm Googling as we speak. Just Kids was her most recent book.
Yeah, it was 2010 winner
of
nonfiction.
She actually wrote a lot of books. I feel like someone was telling me, because I read Just Kids, and like while it didn't blow me away, I didn't have as strong feelings about it as you did.
Yeah, I'll admit part of it was the fact that it was actually a gift for me, which in retrospect I find extremely odd, that like there was nothing in that book that I would feel that would resonate with me.
Interesting.
So it seemed like a poor gift choice.
So I'm not apparently recalling this conversation well, because, yeah, I was talking to an older woman about Patti Smith and mentioned I read Just Kids and didn't like it. And she was like, oh, no, you've got to read her other book. But now it's, like, not coming up. So if you want to do more research on that, let us know.
Yeah.
Why do you like reading Patti Smith?
Yeah.
Chris wants to know.
Yeah. Fired a couple of shots this episode at some authors.
Some strong feelings coming at you in the near future. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't necessarily think she's my she's not my favorite or my hero, but as an icon, she was kind of a world mover and kind of changing things for women and in the music scene, so whatever.
Yeah, and I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't think the book addresses any of
that
her
side of her.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, it mostly just felt like these were our shitty lives.
Yeah. I love how she talks about wheat toast with olive oil on it like 7 times. Every time she goes to a cafe, she's like, wheat toast with olive oil. Anything else is just stupid. Why would you even order anything else? Essentially, you're just like, huh. I felt like I had to eat wheat toast with olive oil drizzled on it and black coffee in order to read. Yum, yum. I wasn't opposed to that.
Guess there are worse things in the world.
All right. Well, let's move right along. So I gave this category to myself because I thought it was more likely that I would have read something. It's the Rita Award. It's for romance novels. Curated, given by the Romance Writers of America. There are a number of categories, and unfortunately, I didn't recognize any of the books. So categories are fun to go through. Best first book, long contemporary romance, mid-length contemporary romance, short contemporary romance. We've got some erotic romances, long historical, short historical, inspirational romance, which makes me curious. Like,
I think it's
a way of saying romances that are very spiritual in nature. So there's not sex scenes, and there's something about Christ and God.
Christ is in the sex scenes.
Driving your relationship to this person, which is nice for some people.
Sure.
Paranormal, which is the exact opposite of that. romance novella, romance suspense, and young adult. I have read a handful of romance novels, but I haven't read any award winners. Oh. So maybe I should do that, and I'd like them more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it started, it looks like 1982.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that. So, if I had to guess, I would have guessed the 80s.
Yeah, it's my mom's life. romance novels. Let's see, that's not very interesting. I was going to say the one that won the year I was born, but it wasn't very interesting. So let's say, yeah, I haven't read any of these. I feel like I should. No Good Duke Goes Unpunished by Sarah McLean. I have read, and it was very enjoyable. So if you know, for me, the place of a romance novel is definitely escapism. So if you're looking for that, I would say Sarah McLean has won, and I have read her books and would recommend them. Yeah, that was kind of crappy too.
Well, that's okay.
Here we are.
I didn't bother looking at the list because I know I haven't read any.
Yeah, that's why I didn't give it to you.
Pretty safe.
It's funny because I do listen to a podcast about erotica, and I like reading. I feel like a lot of times I get irritated at the tropes in romance novels, and also at the writing sometimes is just not very good, especially if there's sex scenes. Like, sex scenes are hard to write well.
Yeah.
So I think I just like would rather not waste my time on trying to find the good ones.
Yeah. I know. I actually, there was one point in college I was like, you know what? Romance novels suck. I can write one and make money.
How did that work?
I wrote a page and a half.
So it went really easy, well.
But I just, yeah, I mean, it felt extremely easy to write, but I was like, I don't really want to spend my time writing a romance novel. So I
love these. Oh, Outlander by Diana Gabaldon also won in 1992. That's big in the scene with the TV show. Right? You have no comments. Well,
I don't know. This isn't my field.
Ladies
of expertise.
And gentlemen, if you want to talk romance novels, give me a call and we will create an episode just for you about romance and the novels within romance. And that's all I have. That's all I have to say about that, guys.
Fair enough. Yeah. I also realized that I forgot to mention something else I want to say about the National Book Awards, which is that they have this really cool supplementary award called the Innovations in Reading Prize.
Mm-hmm.
It was recent. They found it in 2009. And it's basically for people or organizations who, to quote them, have developed innovative means of creating and sustaining a lifelong love of reading.
Zing!
Yeah. So,
which is like apparently a crisis. Apparently people are not reading.
Yeah.
Apparently only people in New York are reading.
But we're in New Hampshire.
I know. Better stop reading.
No more books for us.
Get rid of them. Who needs it?
But yeah, I thought this was really great. I mean, some of the past winners have been, for example, like Chicago Books to Women in Prison. Mm. Or the Maricopa County Library District. So they can be like super specific.
Yeah, just like these people are making people readers.
Yeah.
And changing the world as a result.
Yeah. I thought
because
that was...
reading changes you, which is why it's so dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, yeah actually, though. So yeah, I thought this was really great that they decided to do this and, you know, not just address great books, but also address, you know, people and organizations who are encouraging people to read books, great or otherwise.
Facilitating the tradition.
Yeah, because you can continue to hand out awards for books, but it becomes irrelevant if no one's
reading it except for New York.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really appreciate that. And then the last award I had on my list, it's actually fiddling enough, was an offshoot of the National Book Awards. The Penn Faulkner Award for fiction. And their origin story is kind of interesting. Basically, in 1979, the panel for the National Book Awards fiction, they awarded a prize to Tim O'Brien's Going After Cacciato, instead of The World According to Garp by John Irving.
Mm-hmm.
And as you might imagine, the Irving book was like a super bestseller. I mean, it still is.
Mm-hmm.
Versus O'Brien's was
so quiet.
Yeah. And so the New York publishing industry was really pissed about that. So they canceled their support of the National Book Award and changed the voting rules because they didn't want that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So in response, a bunch of people decided to launch a competing prize because they wanted a prize that wasn't going to be so heavily influenced by the publishing
mainstream
industry.
Yeah.
And so they came up with the Penn Faulkner Award.
Zing.
I thought that was...
like the Battle of the Book Awards. So dramatic.
Yeah. I know. It is... it reminds me a lot of... I mean, so right now I'm reading a book about the independent film scene in the 1990s. It's Down and Dirty Pictures by Peter Biskind. Highly recommend if you're interested in the film industry at all. If you're not, though, it's a pretty entertaining book. But reminds me of the same kind of thing, this battle between commerce and art, especially when it comes to awards.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Penn Faulkner Award for Fiction, so it's Best American Fiction. Some of the past winners that I've read have been like Snow Falling on Cedars by David Gutterson. Or The Hours by Michael Cunningham.
Oh, that book was so beautiful.
Yeah.
That movie was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it just like makes me swoon even thinking about it. And the music was so beautiful. Guys, The Hours. It was so beautiful.
Yeah. Would highly recommend both the book and the film. And then some of the nominees I've read have been Ironweed by William Kennedy, Roscoe by William Kennedy, and Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry. So definitely some quality.
They found some good books.
Yeah.
And they're not persuaded by publishing aggrandization.
Yeah. Though, I mean, most of these, I would like, at least of the books that I've read off this list.
Still pretty big books.
Yeah. They're not.
They're known.
Yeah. They're not like, this underdog
that no one's heard of.
That only 5,000 copies were published.
They're still big books.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's still, I mean, it's still like, you figure these are sort of mid-level books, if you will, and like, it's just as important to represent those.
Yeah.
And give them attention.
Where's the tiniest book awards?
Yeah. I don't think we found any tiny book awards.
There's no tiny book awards.
Oh, that's too bad.
We're just like, here's the book that sold the least copies. It'd be like all the self-published ebooks in the world. Maybe.
We could create the tiny book awards ceremony.
What book has no one read except the person who wrote it?
Then we could hand out awards, you know.
You're like, and here's
then...
your certificate.
Yeah.
1 of 5 million. Oh, gee. So I have 3 more awards, crazy enough. I think I don't know how to count very well.
Yeah.
Or, well, some of them I'm like, okay, Goodreads. I do Goodreads. You don't do Goodreads. So, like, the next award is the Goodreads Award, which is kind of like the People's Choice Award for books. It's like all the people on Goodreads will vote every year. So this past year, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child won for fantasy. That was when I had read. And they have categories upon categories upon categories. The other ones I read that won last year are We Smart Enough to Know How Smart Animals Are? And that was so fucking fantastic. I cannot tell you. And I think you should read it. The other one I read was the winner for Memoir and Autobiography. And it was a book that got quite a bit of press. It's called When Breath Becomes Air. And it's by a doctor who found out he has pretty severe cancer and wanted to write a book before he died. It's devastating, but he's a very exceptional writer. Definitely there's some tears at the end. But it was just so, so beautiful. So I would definitely recommend that. And I think that was a worthy win. Goodreads. I like it because then at the end of every year, if I actually track my books, it tells me how many books I read. And then I feel like I've accomplished something that year.
It looks from glancing over the winners that a lot of these are very popular books.
Oh, yeah. So. It's everyone who reads and is on Goodreads with an account and decides to vote. So, it's definitely a popularity contest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Not that, I mean, these aren't good books, but yeah, these are all books that I'm like, I see these in the airport bookstore.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but I think that there's some smaller winners that come around occasionally, so I just closed my tab, but Sarah Anderson has a book of comics that are really adorable, and like that's, you know, she's got attention, but it's also nice to be like, here's some more from like the general public.
Yeah.
We like you too. Not just major publishers. I actually have 4 more.
Whoa.
The other one thought was funny is the Hans Christian Andersen Award. And they have 2 different awards, one for writing and one for illustration for fairy tales.
Oh, nice.
Formerly called the Nobel Prize for Children's Literature.
Did they get like denobelized?
Maybe the Nobel Prize was like kids don't matter. I don't know. It's fun. It's fun to look through and see whom I recognize from my childhood, and also most recent winner in 2016 was Chao Wenwushan from China. So if you have kids, might be something you want to check out. If you like children's books, you might want to check it out.
Yeah, this does seem like a nicely international list.
Yeah, it's a little more international than some of the awards we've been talking about today. So, and I always like just giving a shout out to those picture books. Bless their hearts. They're often overlooked, but they're poignant too.
Definitely.
The next award I was going to talk about is the IACP, International Association of Culinary Professionals. They have awards for books that are about food.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was, I So again, I haven't read a lot, but looking down the list, they have a bunch of different categories, you know, like traveling food memoir, personal essays, cookbooks that are actual cookbooks, you know, beverage focused. So it's a fun little list to peruse.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Worthy of mention, because if you love reading, maybe you like reading about food. I like reading about food. And I will wrap up with the Nebula Awards. So also science fiction, by the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America. They have different categories and they are awarded annually. I think this was in the point in my research where my brain started to melt and I was like, we just need to do this show. So I didn't look up who won, but I will right now. And
I mean, Frank Herbert was the first winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's a lot of crossover with the Hugos.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times they're handed out in pairs, or like, you know, Gravity's Rainbow made it here. So
yeah, some of these same winners in the same years.
Yeah, so that's, I feel like that's why I swung in at the end. It seems a tiny bit superfluous to the Hugo, but it also sometimes gives attention to other people. So that's nice. And the book that I read recently was the nominee for this upcoming year, 2016 awards, I think. Yeah, because they're like the... Anyways, Swan's getting tired. All the Birds in the Sky. Okay, I am getting tired, but I also want to say, guys, this is a great book. All the Birds in the Sky, it's by Charlie Jane Anders. And we met her at Book Riot Live, and she was amazing and very articulate. And the book reflects that, very intelligent. She's did a lot of research, talked to a lot of people to make sure that things were aligned. And I would just say, like, this is a really wonderful read. And it felt very comfortable reading in a way that you kind of get sometimes from those fantasy sci-fi novels. I guess this one was definitely sci-fi. Well, no, it was both. It was solidly both. I misspoke.
Can you remind me what the premise is again?
So it's two kids. One is science. One is magic. They may save or may destroy the world.
Oh.
Yeah, because this, magic also kind of really rooted in nature. So it's kind of like science and nature at odds, but with these two people that, like, this is the only person who understands me. This is the only person that understands me.
Yeah.
But, like, we're at odds with each other. So it kind of, in addition to touching on some nice, like, themes, it also taps into some nice emotions and, you know, conditions of the human experience. And transgender author, let's give a shout out to the fact that that's like a thing now and that people love it. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I wouldn't be surprised if Charlie is the only transgender author on any of these lists.
You know, I don't know that you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's something that, especially in the past year, has been on a lot of people's mind, but it's still a up and coming thing.
Definitely.
Know? They're not winning awards yet. They're just like breaking into actually being published and having people talk about them. So, yeah. Oh, I did pull up a window of the Nebula Award winners. Neil Gaiman won. I love Neil Gaiman. How about the weirdest awards?
Do you have any?
I do have some.
Yes.
So, a Diagram Prize. It used to be the Diagram Prize for oddest title, and you can probably guess it's for the book with the weirdest title, including such things as oral sadism and vegetarian personality, managing a dental practice, the Genghis Khan way, big book of lesbian horse stories, and how tea cozies changed the world. Yeah. Winners, guys.
Yeah, geez.
There's also a winner for bad sex in fiction. Good to know. Mm. And bad writing competitions. There's a couple out there. So if you're one of those people that's just like, well, I want to be a writer, but I'm not good. Well, go be bad and you can win awards at it.
It's an option.
It's an option. Yeah. Anyways, thanks for listening, guys. We're always so grateful that you take time out of your life to listen to us jabber about books, sometimes say something interesting. Again, send us your thoughts, Ink and Worm, on all the socials, or inkandworm@gmail.com, spelled out. Yeah. Anyways, so I'm going to go to bed now.
Yeah, and you should, you know, use all these awards and find some great books for you to read.
Yeah, you know, if you're lost in the world of books and need a place to start, start with children's books. Oh, wait. All right, guys, I'll leave you with the word, take it or leave it, Twee.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changin'.